Hello and welcome to another edition of the Be Bullish podcast. I'm Alex Ely, CIO of the U.S. Growth Equity Group. Thank you for tuning in. I appreciate you taking the time. I'm sure you're wondering with a podcast called Be Bullish, what we're thinking about the markets now. We really had a terrific correction really across the board in equities over the last couple months. First, it started with growth names, which I can get into, and then it fed in even to the larger mega cap stocks and eventually the S&P. The major indices hadn't hit their 200-day moving averages for about 20 months, so a long time in the making. In review, you could obviously say they were somewhat stretched out. Corrections happen in good markets and bad. We don't try to call corrections. We don't try to call rotations. They happen in the markets. We don't think that you can time them. Now, where did the correction came from? Really from the Fed, this sort of clouded visibility of what the Fed is going to do. Powell has committed in the last week or so to increasing rates, most likely in the March meeting, and also to stop quantitative easing at that time. So the theory would be that they're taking the punch bowl away. That's going to be negative for bonds, negative for equities across the board. This hasn't really been shown to be true over history. If you look back at the worst bond markets over the last 40 years, the markets were up in almost all of them, and not just the S&P, but the major growth indices as well. So while we monitor rates, we typically believe that the disruptions that we're invested in don't get upended by external macro events. So that's our focus there. On the other side, people still talking about inflation. I should highlight the fact that while inflation numbers have come in at 7% today, we think inflation expectations will diminish or decrease throughout the year. Supply chain issues should improve. Hopefully the pandemic will improve, and that should help out the labor market to some degree. You'll have some transitory aspects about the inflation numbers that we had last year. As an example, used car prices were up 26%. We see things like that as being unsustainable. And as those inflation concerns diminish throughout the year, we think that's good for equities and good for growth. So yes, we remain bullish. Sure, we've had a correction and even a bear market for some small cap growth indices. We remain undeterred. We're in a terrific market where, whether it be banks or corporations or individuals, we're not extended. Banks have been regulated and stress tested endlessly. Corporations have the largest amount of cash that they've ever had on their balance sheets. And finally, for consumers, their net worth has increased, whether it be through the markets or if they own a home, they're getting higher wages. They're in a good spot too. So we see lots of good news abound. And while the concerns are here now and causing a correction, we see lots of reasons to be optimistic as we go through the end of the year. Okay, so now we're going to move over and talk about our subject of the day, the pandemic, and what's happening there, where we are today, what we're expecting for 2022. I'm bringing on Jane Fisher, our Director of Research, and Trevor Davis, our lead healthcare analyst, here to talk about where we are today. Well, welcome to the podcast, Jane and Trevor.
Thanks, Alex. It's great to be back. I'm really happy to have Trevor on. He's going to have some terrific insights for us on the pandemic and, you know, a few other matters. Trevor, welcome. It's good to have you here. I know you've been studying the pandemic now for 2 years, so you should have some good insights for us. I think what's on top of everyone's mind, most people know kind of the background of the virus, where we are, where we're headed. But I know there's some new information that's out that's a little bit more encouraging. Maybe you can kind of just bring us up to date on where we are today.
Sure. Well, thanks for having me on the podcast, and happy to talk about COVID and the wonderful world of healthcare. I guess where we are today is we're now 2 years into a global pandemic that is, you know, certainly touched all parts of the world and changed our lives in a lot of different ways. But there's a lot of room for optimism right now. We're seeing, Omicron cases, at least across the U.S. and other parts of the world, have already peaked. We're coming down off of that peak, and those declines are accelerating, just a lot like Omicron emerged very quickly upon us. So, in the epicenter of where we are in the U.S. and where Omicron first, hit, cases in New York City are down 90%. Hospitalizations are down 50%. So we're back down on the other side of the Omicron wave. And I think that it sets up for a return to normalizing life by sometime this spring in a lot of parts of our country and also around the world.
Great. Well, that's good news. I know, you know, myself included, everyone has a little bit of fatigue, needless to say. You know, life is not normal. And we went into this thinking it would be 2 weeks. And here we are 2 years later. And I think we all just need kind of a dose of having a light at the end of this tunnel. You know, will this be like the flu? Are we just going to be living with this forevermore? Have, you know, a shot each year to ward it off? What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I mean, that's becoming the base case scenario that many public health experts are now thinking that COVID is going to be with us for, you know, at least the foreseeable future. Perhaps there'll be, you know, another variant later this year. But in terms of the way that we manage it, we have all the tools in the world now, vaccines, testing, hospital protocols, antiviral drugs to manage the way that COVID impacts our lives. We're getting better at it every day. So, you know, in terms of COVID's impact on our lives, yeah, I think it will, you know, eventually evolve into the way that the seasonal flu, you know, has a role in our lives, which, you know, it seems like we've been able to live with the seasonal flu every year, you know, just fine in terms of living our daily lives. So, yeah, I think that that's becoming the base case expectation by most public health experts around the world.
So we don't know exactly what's going to happen, but we've got a high degree of confidence that our understanding of the pandemic will be much better by the end of 2022.
I think our understanding of the pandemic has already improved dramatically today. I don't think we have to wait to the end of 2022 to get to that point. Like I mentioned, we have all the tools in the world now to better manage the impact that COVID has on our lives from a public health perspective, but also, you know, outside of public health. You know, people are going to start traveling more. They're going to start, you know, getting out and about and doing a lot of the same things that they did prior to COVID. Of course, COVID is still going to exist in the background, but, you know, we're going to move on. Our lives are going to normalize to a significant extent, and I think that's going to be happening very soon.
I sure hope so. And that's obviously that kind of visibility on people's lives is a positive. It's a bullish thing for the markets. It makes it so that companies can plan better for the future and where they're headed. Jane, what are you going to do when there's less COVID out there and less of a pandemic? Are there going to be any changes that you take in terms of your lifestyle?
Oh, goodness. Absolutely. I've been like a caged animal. Get me out of this house. So, yeah, I would love to travel, you know, selfishly. But honestly, I really hope for my kids' sake that they can get back to some level of normal. I'm fine. You know, I haven't been commuting to the city as much. I will, you know, return to that as soon as, you know, things settle out a bit more. But for my kids, you know, it's really been unsettling, and their school years have been, you know, disrupted. Virtual learning, if I don't have to look at my son, you know, taking math class from his bed ever again, that'll be a happy day for me. So, you know, I really just hope that they can get back to, you know, graduations and proms. And my 20 plus year old living in the city, he needs to get out of his apartment and get into an office and start socializing with people his age. It's not normal. It's not healthy. And it starts to bleed into bad habits. I don't want to know at what time during the day he's starting to crack a beer or do God knows what else.
Right. Well, I think we're all looking forward to that. I have to say, while the pandemic has been interesting to study, I'll be happy to see it go, or at least be much more in the background than what we expected.
Also, from an investment perspective, just kind of pivoting back to that, so many areas of healthcare were completely disrupted by the pandemic. And, you know, even myself, if I didn't have to go to the doctor or to the hospital, I steered way clear. Elective procedures, anything of that sort, the last thing I wanted to do is add another layer to our frontline workers. So quite frankly, I've put off kind of everything, even some routine matters. What do you see there, Trevor, in terms of, you know, elective procedures or other trends going on in healthcare that relate to the pandemic?
Right. I think that to your point, in personal experience, I think there's a tremendous amount of, let's call it warehoused or deferred, whether they be surgical procedures or visits to the doctor or the dentist, will eventually be done by, you know, a lot of people as COVID's impacts start to dissipate. I think that, you know, there's going to be tremendous demand for all types of healthcare services as people get out and about and go back to their normal lives. I think that the reopening or recovery trade as it relates to the healthcare sector is real. I think there's a significant amount of warehoused or deferred demand of services that people will, you know, go out and address once they can, if they haven't already. That the supply should be, you know, there to, you know, meet that demand.
Well, there's certainly a lot of procedure-related healthcare companies that we're invested in. Hopefully a more normalized healthcare system will put them in a better fundamental position as we go through 2022. But really, just in general, it makes me optimistic knowing that we're getting into a better spot in this cycle of the pandemic and so forth. So I'm looking forward to the good things that can come out of it once it's fully over.
Well, and I also think certain things that were accelerated by the pandemic, whether it be telehealth or virtual health, you know, those are here to stay. I've used, you know, certain virtual healthcare services as well while I've been avoiding the doctor. And it's quite efficient. You know, I can stay in my casual attire and my bunny slippers and have a conversation with a doctor and not leave my living room.
Yeah, Jane, that's a good point. I mean, and I think the another thing to keep in mind is that, you know, over the last couple of years of COVID, there's been a tremendous focus on one's health and wellness. And I think that as we exit, you know, COVID, you know, people will continue to have a focus on their health and wellness, and they'll go back out and you know, and address any, you know, health concerns that they may have, maybe even more so than they would have done before COVID.
Yeah, that's certainly a positive thing to come out of all this, is people taking care of themselves better and being more aware how important it is to be healthy in case you get sick of whatever it may be, whether it's COVID or something else. So I think that's a good spot to end it. I appreciate you coming on, Trevor, and talking to us a little bit. I hope you come on again in the future. We've got lots of other trends we'd like to talk to you about. And thank you, Jane, too, for coming on with us and sharing your perspectives.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
This recording is intended for financial professionals and institutional investors only. This is not intended for use with the general public. The views expressed in this podcast represent those of the speaker and are subject to change. Nothing presented should be construed as a recommendation to purchase or sell any security or follow any investment technique or strategy, and does not constitute advice, an advertisement, an invitation, a confirmation, an offer or a solicitation to engage in any investment activity or an offer of any banking or financial service. Throughout this presentation, various securities and companies are referenced. Examples given are for illustrative purposes only and were not chosen based on performance. This is not a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Investing involves risk, including the possible loss of principal. All examples herein are for illustrative purposes only, and there can be no assurance that any particular investment objectives will be realized or any investment strategy seeking to achieve such objective will be successful. Past performance is not a reliable indication of future performance. Before acting on any information, you should consider the appropriateness of it with regard to your particular objectives, financial situation and needs, and seek advice. No representation or warranty, expressed or implied, is made as to the accuracy or completeness of the information, opinions, and conclusions presented. In preparing this recording, reliance has been placed without independent verification on the accuracy and the completeness of all information available from external sources. Macquarie Asset Management is the marketing name for the asset management division of Macquarie Group. Investment products and advisory services are distributed and offered by and referred through affiliates, which include Delaware Distributors LP, a registered broker-dealer and member of the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, and Macquarie Investment Management Business Trust, a Securities and Exchange Commission registered investment advisor. Investment advisory services are provided by a series of Macquarie Investment Management Business Trusts. Other than Macquarie Bank Limited, none of the entities noted in this podcast are authorized deposit-taking institutions for the purposes of the Banking Act of 1959 from the Commonwealth of Australia. The obligations of these entities do not represent deposits or other liabilities of Macquarie Bank Limited. Macquarie Bank Limited does not guarantee or otherwise provide assurance in respect of the obligations of these entities unless noted otherwise.